the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Today's Irish Times reported how the wealthy businessman Dermot Desmond has told the government that it should abandon its project for the Metrolink, which could cost anywhere between 9 and 12 billion, although there have been some suggestions that it could cost 23 billion. His reckoning is by the time that it's finished, it will become obsolete, because he believes that in about 10 to 15 years' time, or maybe within 15 to 25 years, that there will be autonomous vehicles and people will not be allowed to drive cars. But surely, even if the roads are full of autonomous cars, we're going to need other people to be travelling by train and by bus. Let me have two guests with us. Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast. Dermot Desmond's argument seems to be that the autonomous cars will be far more efficient in how they move around the streets and roads, and also that people won't actually own these cars, that they'll use them like taxis only as and when they need them, and this will reduce the amount of congestion on the roads. What do you think of that as an argument?
I mean, you've kind of made the point already there, Matt, that it still doesn't discount the need for public transport alternatives, because roads being roads, they only, you know, go to certain places and they don't go underground and all that sort of thing. So you could just be creating congestion by adding cars to that system, whereas an underground service that is going to a place that requires a lot of transport to and from, such as an airport, still makes sense, I think, even in that scenario.
But he seems to think, though, that if we all don't have cars, and most people in Ireland do have cars, or we think we've about half the population, at least, around has cars, but that if they're not, they will be going on the basis of artificial intelligence at times to avoid traffic, and somehow that we will end up having only 40 to 60% of the number of cars that we have on the road at present, and therefore we won't need the trains and everyone else will get on buses.
Again, I don't see the maths on that working out, because we already have a system where, because of our lack of public transport infrastructure across this country, single occupancy vehicles are really common. You see, many households don't just have one car. They have a car for each adult in that household who has different commutes that they have to enjoy. And often they don't have a public transport option, or their public transport option is insufficient, underserviced, or what have you. So I don't see why a scenario where individuals trying to get from A to B in single occupancy vehicles leads to less congestion, because that's the scenario we kind of have now with our under-resourced public transport system, and we have a lot of cars on the road and a lot of congestion because of it.
Okay, but where are we at, though, with these autonomous cars? I know Elon Musk about a decade ago was making enormous promises of Tesla cars, and it seems now it's more about them being electric vehicles rather than being autonomously driven, although he keeps making promises along those lines which he doesn't deliver. But you have been, as you've told us before in the programme, but I'd like you to just tell the story again of your experience of being in autonomously driven cars in California.
Yeah, so it wasn't a Tesla robo-taxi. I wouldn't see the likes of them pushing forward very far with Elon Musk behind it. His claims are to be taken with a whole package of salt, I would say. But I was in San Francisco last September for a tech conference, and at the time that I was there, it had just been opened up that you could, anyone without an invite to the app, could use the Waymo service there. So that is a robo-taxi service. It's an offshoot of Alphabet, the Google company. And they're these cars that have a lot of sensors on them. You actually can see a lot of the equipment built into the cars as they're going around the road. They have a huge sensory hub on the roof of the car, and they also have a lot of cameras and things equipped on the exterior of the car to keep an eye on things as well. And you use an app, you hail a taxi the same you would through any kind of taxi hailing service, and it arrives, and there's no driver in place. You can sit in the front passenger seat, you can sit in the back, and you are welcomed into the car by a pre-recorded voice that tells you, you know, how the system works, and that if there is any problem, you can press the button and contact someone in a service centre remotely and inform them of any issues. You have already input your destination when you book the ride, and it proceeds autonomously. And it feels quite a bit like being on a Disney ride, is kind of how I felt. You know, because even though there were no tracks and rails keeping things in place, that's kind of how being in an autonomously moving vehicle felt to me.
Was this was the ride smooth, or was it? Would it be sudden stops and starts based on other traffic around you?
There was one slightly sudden stop where I was approaching a junction, and it was in city traffic during a busy day of the week, and I was approaching a junction, kind of moving slowly anyway because of the pace of traffic at that time, and a truck was pulling out at that junction in front of us. And once it detected that truck, and it was still quite far away, it did come to a slightly sudden stop. But like as I said, it wasn't even close to the truck when it did that. And you can actually see on it, on the panels inside the car, you can see how it's monitoring the various things moving around on the street outside. You can see identifying cars, identifying trucks, identifying cyclists, identifying pedestrians live on the systems as you watch them. And also at one point, when it was dropping me off curbside, there was another driverless taxi in front of me dropping someone off as well. So there wasn't room enough for it to pull in fully against the curb. And where I know from experience, human drivers being impatient would probably improvise around that, maybe drop you off in the middle of the road, maybe trying to skirt in at an angle behind the car that was already pulled in. But because these cars are designed to operate quite strictly within their rules and parameters, it just waited until the other car pulled out, and then it was able to pull in itself and let me off at the curb. So I did kind of notice those kind of behaviours with it as well, which was quite interesting.
Did you feel safe in it?
I felt wary, but I felt kind of safe in it. But my biggest fear from reporting on these is actually the most harms I think are being caused to people outside of these cars, because if you're a pedestrian in an area that has cars like this, you're more vulnerable than the person inside the car. Cars are built to protect the people inside them, and I'd be more scared of what happens to the people outside if an accident occurs. So I was actually in my head way more nervous about if a pedestrian came out of nowhere and something happened, and I would feel responsible because I was the person who'd hailed the ride.
Okay. Do you think, though, that over time that you'd overcome those concerns and it would just become your day-to-day way of travelling?
I think that's possible. I do think, having been in one of these things, that like if you did it enough, I did it twice while I was in San Francisco, and by the second time I did feel that bit more relaxed in it. And it's, I suppose, like with driving, you know, when I first started driving myself, I would have been nervous at first, and then eventually got somewhat used to it. I still was a very nervous driver up until I stopped driving altogether. So I can see how people would warm to it as an idea, but in the rollout, and the rollout, say, of this experiment that's been taking place in San Francisco and in other cities in the States, they start in these smaller controlled spaces and they grow very gradually. And I think that's the way they have to do it. It has to be done gradually and it has to build out, because the social acceptance part of it is really important. And an element of achieving that is going to be hitting a really high bar of safety. There have been accidents involving these cars, and really horrendous ones as well. And the inevitability is that the faster this is rolled out, and if it's rapidly done, the bigger the chance you have of fatalities and things like that occurring within it, and that will really destroy any social acceptance.
Let's bring in Brian Caulfield, Professor in Transportation at the Department of Civil Engineering in Trinity College Dublin. Brian, as you're trying to map out the future, how much store are you placing in the role for autonomous vehicles?
Autonomous vehicles will play a part, I think, in our transport mix into the future. I think that they have an awful lot of benefits. I think, say, for example, in rural parts of countries, say in rural Ireland, I think there would be lots of benefits there. I don't see them ever replacing big public transport infrastructure, as you both kind of mentioned there. And that's purely basically down to space. Say, for example, Metro, which he wants to cancel, would carry about 20,000 passengers per direction per hour. That volume of traffic on the roads would mean we'd have to do a tunnel anyway. But even still, we wouldn't be able to get as many people moving around as quickly. And I think also, and Lane touched on it about the social acceptance, I've been commenting on researching transport policy in Ireland for maybe 15, 20 years. I don't see a government bringing in a policy that's going to take away everybody's car. And that's basically what something like this would do, because every car would need to be autonomous in order to gain the benefits from it. I don't see it being able to replace something like Metro or Lewis. I just don't think it's possible.
But hasn't history shown that our modes of transport have consistently changed? You know, at one stage, everyone thought, you know, we'd be on horse and trap. Then, you know, maybe we were on trams and trains. And then the car. No one ever envisaged back in when the first cars were introduced over a century ago that, as Elena said, that nearly every adult in the country would have one.
That is true, but it's the thought that it would be able to replace public transport, I think, is the big issue. Yes, perhaps there may be a lot of cars that will be autonomous, and they may be even be owned by the state, but the turnover and to make those vehicles happen and the acceptance rates, etc., like it's taken us, 15 years to get maybe 5% of the vehicle fleet into electric. So that changeover, I think, will take an awful lot of time. But I do think they will be part of the mix. But, you know, saying that we should scrap big public transport projects, I think, is a little bit short-sighted. Say, for example, this is an unproven technology, bar some small little trials that were just mentioned there. I could list off maybe 50, 60 cities in the world that have metro systems, and that's a proven technology. It works. They carry millions of people every day right across the planet.
But they were all previous investments, and they maybe have paid themselves off. What this businessman Dermot Desmond seems to be suggesting is that this investment by the Irish state would be redundant, because it's not just autonomous cars, he says, that'll be running in the future. It's autonomous buses, which would be cheaper to run on existing roads rather than building this Metrolink.
So on that argument of metro systems, there's at least 20 to 30, I think, metro systems that are currently under construction across the planet. If you look at Paris, they're looking to double the size of their metro systems.
Maybe they're all wrong and Dermot Desmond is right.
There's an awful lot of maybe perhaps that is the case. But I suppose the people that are pushing the public transport projects, like say TII, that have done the modelling on this, they know what it will take to move this amount of people. There's going to be a 250,000 jobs within walking distance of a stop on the metro system, 175,000 people within a walking distance to a stop as well. Autonomous cars aren't going to be able to achieve that volume of people. So I think maybe if you sit down and do the maths, as Elaine kind of mentioned at the start, it doesn't add up.
Okay. Do you get a sense, though, that there's lots of people will be putting forward all sorts of reasons just to try and persuade the state not to go ahead with Metrolink? Would you be worried now that as the economy appears to be slowing and as we have all of these concerns, which we'll be examining later in the programme about what Trump is going to do to pharmaceuticals and declining corporation tax revenues, that as has happened in previous recessions in Ireland, on a couple of occasions, the first thing that goes is the idea of building this Metrolink?
I think that could very easily happen, and we saw that the last time when we got into trouble with the economy, Metro and Dart Underground, all of these things were cancelled. We have to look at the economic cost of not doing it, and the economic cost of not doing it is the congestion that's going to happen. Say, for example, in Dublin by 2040, it'll be 1.5 billion euro per year. So those are the kind of things that we need to take into account. And I'm sure there are many other reasons out there, and I'm sure there's going to be a huge number of new and exciting ways to say we shouldn't build a metro that will come out, because it's likely that metro is going to get planning permission in the next couple of weeks, or hopefully it will get permission. And as I said, I'm sure there's loads of reasons why we shouldn't do it, that will be invented to try and block it.
Okay, Sorry, Elaine Burke, just back to you. We have a couple of Elon Musk Tesla fans in touch saying that he is going to have, or already has autonomous robo-taxis in the likes of Austin, Texas and San Francisco Bay Area, with many more cities coming in the next 6 months. And the belief seems to be, that I've seen from others, is that these Tesla cars will be far cheaper to produce than the expensive Waymos that Google have.
So in brief, those trials weren't like the most fully thought out or well executed trials, those trials that you're talking about. And they were largely seen by myself and some other analysts as a stunt ahead of an earnings call, because he had promised so long to get robo-taxis on the road and he was having to finally show something for that, those many deadlines that had passed. And the reason why his would be cheaper to produce is because he has eschewed the use of something called LiDAR, which is like radar, but it used waves of light instead of sound waves to calculate distance from objects, and relied instead on computer vision only systems. So that means that a camera has to be able to see everything in the view of the car in order to operate safely. Cameras can be obscured by bad weather, all sorts of things, like dirt could obscure a camera. So that's actually not the safest prospect for these cars going forward. And Waymo, which is far ahead in this, and also other providers of this kind of technology who are developing it, tend to use more than just computer vision systems. And LiDAR systems are really expensive, and I'm sure people are also trying to work on how to make that cheaper. But safety has to come first on this rather than price.
And of course, the irony, Brian Caulfield, as well, isn't it? Isn't the metro train is going to be autonomously driven as well, isn't it?
It is going to be autonomously driven. It's and that's the trend that's out there in these new metro systems right across the world. And that's why I suppose the metro system isn't extending the way it was meant to out as far as Still, Oregon, because it would have had walls either side and would have blocked out communities. But yeah, there'll be no drivers on the metro.
Thank you very much, Professor Brian Caulfield from Trinity College Dublin. Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.